Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements.
Well, I guess I'm heading to the lake then, because if there's one place I don't want to be today, it's in between 92 and 94. 76 here at the studios on Napier Avenue. The winds are southwest at 15. That'll help some. It gets the air moving a little bit, but the humidity is up there at 87% here at 6 o'clock in the morning, for crying out loud, at 6:11 on WSJM. Jim Gifford and Spencer Rivers, good morning.
People moving out, people moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 so bad.
Things haven't changed since the 60s. Welcome to the 2020 version of Ball of Confusion. I don't know where to start this morning, Spence. I just don't know. I think I need some time off. This is just becoming just, it's just too much. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least in this line of work, you tend to immerse yourself in all of this. The fires and the hurricanes and the riots and the vigilantes and the political bull. And you're in it for, you know, several hours in the morning. You get a break after that. You go home and you get ready for the next day. You're back in it. And then you're watching this stuff on TV. And it's just, oh, my God. It fries your brains. Mm-hmm. It fries your brains. You want to start with the fires this morning?
The fires?
Or the floods?
Oh.
I'll just give you an interesting tidbit on the fires out west. That apparently at this point seems to be the least of our worries, which is bizarre, but still. I saw the other day, yesterday, in fact, fires consumed 1 million acres, and wow. You know me and my curiosity, and what on earth does 1 million acres mean? So I did the math, and you may find this interesting. The 1 million acres translates into just over 1,500 square miles.
Wow.
And guess what is just happens to be just over 1,500 square miles?
What's that?
Berrien County.
Oh,
almost,
wow, you mentioned, oh my
almost
gosh.
Exactly. The numbers match almost exactly. When you're watching the TV and they're talking about 1 million acres are burning in California, you now can at least give it some perspective. It's basically as if all of Berrien County was on fire.
Wow.
So there you go. That's my little tidbit on fire news this morning. Now, the big news is coming up out of the Gulf of Mexico with Hurricane Laura and 150-mile-an-hour winds. Remember how dramatic we thought it was a couple of weeks ago when we had winds of, what, 70 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Or wind gusts of 70 miles an hour? They're having sustained winds of 150.
Yeah,
miles an hour.
I can't even imagine
you
that.
You can't, yeah. Unless you are in it or have been in one, you can't really comprehend that. And they're talking about the potential of entire communities being wiped out along the Gulf there. Coming ashore at the Louisiana-Texas border. So I'd give you an update on that, but my satellite TV is down. So
yeah, that happens quite a bit. I don't know.
We'll blame it on Hurricane Laura. I've not seen an extended storm track on this enough to know. And I, Matt Rudkin last night was talking about he was going to give an update as to how much or what or if it was going to affect us at any point. And then I don't know what happened. I probably fell asleep.
Oh.
So I didn't see his report. So I'm not sure at this point if, when, or how much that might affect us in the coming days. Because, again, the storm track had the hurricane moving north there at the Texas-Louisiana border and then veering off northeast from there, as they tend to do as they come into contact with the pressure systems that are coming across the Great Plains and the Midwest and that sort of thing. So if we see anything at all, it'll just be from a periphery perspective and not for a day or two, I would think. So anyway, that's what we know about hurricanes this morning. And then there's the riots and the vigilantes and more political baloney. And now the world of professional sports is involved in the whole riots that have come out of the Black Lives Movement issues and this Kenosha mess. Holy mackerel, what a mess that has become.
Really?
My goodness, and now we've got vigilantes. We've got this 17-year-old kid crossing over from Illinois and going up to Kenosha for, I don't know what he was going up there for, but to help the cops or something. He brought his semi-automatic rifle with him, and now he's been arrested and charged with murder. Two people have been shot and killed in the exchanges with him and other protesters and rioters up there. So now apparently anarchy is joining COVID as the new normal in this wonderful, wonderful world we're living in. It's just an absolute mess. Wisconsin is just looking at an ineffective governor and city officials there trying to deal with a leaderless mob that seems bent apparently more and more on revenge than on reform. And again, like I said, now they're being met by armed vigilantes. And none of this is making any sense. The Wisconsin Professional Police Association said individuals and groups are exercising their own form of vigilantism because law enforcement was spread very thin across the city. And that's what I was talking about, an ineffective governor and city officials there. They kind of brought in, okayed the use of the National Guard there, but it seemed like kind of a minimal amount. At 500, and then I guess the president stepped in and is vowing to or promising to or offering to, I don't know which, send in more National Guard there. On social media, footage showed a guy with a rifle, that's this 17-year-old, being chased by a crowd. He fell down and then started firing his rifle into the crowd. So other videos showing armed civilians, many dressed in military fatigues, congregating outside businesses that they said they were protecting. So that's the thing. It seems to me, Spence, that this the Black Lives Matter movement has just allowed, or I don't know if allowed is the right word, but extremists and anarchists have just taken it over. And I'm not sure that there's a distinct and cohesive message being propagated here. It's just turned into chaos. And I think a lot of it has to do with if there is a leader, I don't know who it is. I don't know. I don't know who's supposed to be championing this whole thing. And it's just they've allowed it to get away from him, and now you've got everybody with all different kinds of agendas jumping into this thing.
I never saw what's the point of burning your own town.
Yeah, there is no point. That's what I'm saying. Initially, anyway, this is not, this was supposed to be all peaceful protests.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, it has devolved from there into this chaos that we're seeing right here and now. But I tend to believe that if you try to go back and make any comparisons to the protests of the 60s, I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. was leading the cause, and he was not only out in the streets with the people, but he was in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
Dealing with people that could make changes and could make a difference. I don't see that happening. I don't see where or who is making some sense out of this. Because otherwise, if that doesn't happen, then we're just going to continue to have this... And nothing's going to get resolved. And the other option then is for the law and order crowd to come in and beat it down, beat it back, tamp it down with force, mm-hmm. you know, in the form of a National Guard or other forms of law enforcement. And, okay, you've solved it for a minute. You got them off the street. But now what? You haven't solved the problem at all. and then we're just right back to nowhere again. And I don't know. It's just, it drives me nuts that we can't find solutions to this stuff without all the violence. So anyway, that's where we stand on that part of it. And that, of course, then is the backdrop for the Republican National Convention, night three last night. And I've petered out on this one, just like I did with the DNC last week. It's just every night it seems to be more of the same. We're the smart ones. They're all idiots. And if you go with them, the world will collapse, which is odd because it kind of seems to be anyway at the moment. Before we jump into recapping that, I thought I did this last week, too, and the Free Press was kind enough to pony up some information on this morning, but some fact-checking from some of the early claims made on the political front here in these conventions. It just doesn't seem to matter anymore, Spence, to people that they can just tell outright lies and not care. And maybe it's always been the case, and I just wasn't paying attention before. But it just seems to be more prevalent than ever.
It does.
Just outright
lies.
Well,
you have more
lies.
People pointing that out now than you did back in the day.
That is true. There is, everybody's a social media warrior and pointing everything out. And now we've gotten to this point where we're fact-checking everything because the lying has become so pervasive. So we did it last week, and here's a little bit from this week's convention. Trump sons, Eric, was up on stage and claimed this, quote, "Biden has pledged to defund the police and take away your cherished Second Amendment." And from the Detroit Free Press's fact checkers, both claims are false. Biden has directly said he does not support defunding the police. He said that abuse of power in police departments must stop and reforms are needed. But he has said that police departments should be given the money they need to institute changes. And he's proposed an additional $300 million for community policing. So I don't know how you square that with Biden has pledged to defund the police. His plan to end gun violence calls for banning the manufacture and sale of assault weapons and high-capacity magazines and for the regulation of existing assault weapons. Plan also calls for a buyback of assault weapons. It does not say the Second Amendment should be revoked. He says it's within our grasp to end our gun violence epidemic and respect the Second Amendment, which is limited, according to him. Also a claim that Mr. Biden has pledged to stop border wall construction and give amnesty and health care to all illegal immigrants. Now, some elements of this are true. But as always, we tend to not pay any attention to context. They say this does need clarification. As Biden said, there will not be another foot of wall constructed. I'm going to make sure we have border protection, but it's going to be based on high-tech capacity and with ports of entry and not with walls. He has said that people should have access to health care regardless of their immigration status. He has not said it should be free. So again, clarification on that. true to a point, absolutely. My father, on the other hand, he said, delivered the largest tax cuts in American history. And that's false. His father has claimed that multiple times. And each time the fact checkers have said that's false and they don't care. They just keep going, yeah, no, I don't care. We'll just say it anyway. There are several bills since 1980 that were larger than the 2017 tax bill, measured not only by contemporary dollars, but also by inflation-adjusted dollars and as a percentage of the GDP. So, there you go. You know, they just keep going on and on and on and on to the point where you just go, you just turn it off.
That's right.
And you don't care anymore. You just, you know, how are the Tigers doing?
Very well. They took the series from the Cubs.
That's where we go when we get tired of all of the lying and all the baloney. It's 6:25, and I'd like to be a little more upbeat, but honestly, I think I need a vacation. For this has just gotten inside my brain, and it's eating away at it this morning. It's 6:25 on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJ. Jim Gifford, Spencer Rivers on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
You don't. You're alone. that's one good thing that came out of the last time we went through this in the 60s, Spence. We had some great protests.
Oh, yeah.
Songs coming out. I don't know whether that's happening out there now or not. I'm not all that in tuned with today's music. You know, what the kids are singing about doesn't really speak to me for some reason.
Time to bring out They're Coming to Take Me Away. That's
that does seem appropriate. Hey, I think I just saw a swarm of locusts go by.
Really?
Is that the only thing we haven't experienced here in the last little while?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. All right. I was going to say the blinds are closed over there.
Wasn't there a little earthquake in Detroit the other day?
Yeah.
What else could go wrong?
Well, I'll tell you, getting called at 11:55 p.m. and again 5 minutes later by the same person who dialed the wrong number is most unpleasant, especially if you're sleeping well.
Nuts. Yeah. Did they apologize at least?
I just hung up. It was a cell phone. And, of course, when you go to reach the cell phone on the nightstand and then knock it on the floor and then it keeps ringing and the wife wants to know, well, who's calling here? You know, so it was just an unpleasant experience.
Just puts all this other stuff in perspective. Oh, my goodness. Just a weird time we're living in, Spence. And I don't know when, if, or how it's going to get any better.
I did see the satellites again, spinning satellites again this morning when I was out on the patio.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's not something wrong with your eyesight?
No.
Those aren't large and mobile spots in your eyes.
No, I kept an eye on that this morning, and then I saw them.
Now describe those for me again.
It looks like something that's moving that is taking pictures very high in the sky.
Oh, the flashing.
Flashing. Yeah,
yeah, like flashbulbs.
Yeah, flashbulbs.
And several of them.
It's the same one. It goes in a straight line.
Weird.
So I think I was explained to me that it's probably a spinning or tumbling satellite. Right. And that's the sun hits it, and that's what the flashes are.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll go with that, because the other alternatives are a little scarier. It's, again, either somebody with the need to spy on Riverside.
Oh, yeah.
Or the aliens have finally arrived. And maybe that's more likely. On the heels of you know, our western nation, the western part of the nation on fire, the southern part of the nation flooded, the central part of the nation engulfed in riots and vigilantes and all of us being inundated with political crap. Oh, my God.
Have you ever been to Kenosha?
I think I've driven through Kenosha.
Oh, okay.
I think... Where was that? What are some other cities up there along the lake? Milwaukee,
Racine.
Racine is where's Waukegan?
That's in Illinois.
Is that on the lake though?
I think so.
I've been. The reason I ask is years ago, I spent a night in a Holiday Inn right there on the lake. And I don't remember what city it was. We had brought the kids down. We were living up in Rhinelander. We brought the kids down to Milwaukee for either their winter fest, or we brought them down for the big Olympic ice skating complex over there.
Okay.
And we were skating. I don't forget which one it was. Or maybe, but they were all the same. My memory is awful. No, because this doesn't make any sense then. Wait a minute. Let me try to sort this out. It must have been... for something completely different, because it was the 4th of July and we were watching fireworks out over the lake from the window of our hotel room.
Oh, okay.
From the balcony of our hotel room. And it might have been Kenosha. Oh. Why on earth we were there, I don't know. Unless we came down to Chicago and spent the night there on the way home or something. I don't know.
Oh, was there a flea market there or something you went to?
Good Lord, Spencer. I'm lucky I remember that. I'm lucky I remember that I lived in Rhinelander. Ay, ay, ay. All right. My brain has turned to mush, and it is a bit muddled this morning. Let me jump right into our recap of the Republican National Convention Night 3 here. And again, as I said earlier, I've kind of petered out here in watching. It was just the same thing I did last week with the DNC. After a couple nights of this, you just go, oh, okay. You guys are doing everything right, and everything the other guys are doing is wrong and stupid. We get it. I mean, it's the same thing I heard last week. So I guess we have to choose a team here, and hopefully the one that we choose won't destroy the world, which is what the other teams are claiming.
Yeah.
Go with us. The other guys will destroy everything. They're the worst. They're stupid. They're hateful. They hate this country. Really? Anyway, the Republican National Convention. All about law and order. That was their theme last night. Mike Pence was on stage for quite a while. Actually, he was on at Fort McHenry.
In
Baltimore.
Yeah.
And the president made a little surprise visit there and showed up and didn't speak, but he was just checking up on him to make sure that he didn't say anything wrong or what, but he showed up there. And then the other speakers last night from on stage and various other recorded locations, Laura Trump, Eric's wife, was on board there, appealing to female voters at one point or another.
Walking the halls of the Trump Organization, I saw the same family environment. I also saw the countless women executives who thrived there year after year. Gender didn't matter. What mattered was the ability to get the job done. I learned this directly when, in 2016, my father-in-law asked me to help him win my cherished home state and my daughter's namesake, North Carolina.
So she was on board for a bit there, and then we had Michael McHale of the National Association of Police Organizations arguing that Mr. Biden has turned his candidacy over to the far left anti-law enforcement group. Lou Holtz was on. I did not see that. He called out Biden on abortion, saying that he and other Democrats are Catholics in name only. So I guess that's a... Well, it's not a rhino, it's a kino? I don't know. Oh, my goodness. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, a lot of people like her, Gave a more personal address, talking about the support that she got from the president after her double mastectomy. Kellyanne Conway, what would I guess would be her final
goodbye.
Goodbye, arguing that Mr. Trump had championed women's equality. But she has stepped away and says she'll be concentrating on her family. Her husband, who's on the opposite side of the political spectrum from her, is also stepping away from his involvement to try to keep their family together because their daughter apparently filed for emancipation. She says her mom has ruined her life with her political stuff. She, of course, she's 17, and most 17-year-olds believe that their parents are ruining their lives anyway. But still, if you're going to the point where you're, filing for emancipation, that can be pretty serious. So I guess kudos to the Conways for stepping away to save their family there. Clarence Henderson talking about why he supported the president last night.
I'm a military veteran and a civil rights activist. And you know what else? I'm a Republican, and I support Donald Trump. If that sounds strange, you don't know your history. It was the Republican Party that passed the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery. It was a Republican Party that passed the 14th Amendment, giving black men citizenship. It was a Republican Party that passed the 15th Amendment, giving black men the right to vote.
So there you go. Mr. Henderson is firmly in the Trump camp. And like I said, Mike Pence was front and center for a good part of last night. There's just some weirdness coming out of this whole law and order theme. Just seems either appropriate or perhaps inappropriate, depending upon your political stance, since it's coming right in the middle of all of this Kenosha stuff, where there's video of the police there literally letting a guy who just shot three people walk right by them. It's just so bizarre.
It is.
I mean, this is the vigilante dude, and he just shot three people, just walked right by the cops carrying his gun, and I just, man, I would not want to be in law enforcement. No. I don't know how those guys deal with any of this. Every move they make is just scrutinized to the point of ridiculousness, and they can't do anything right. Seemingly. What else do we know here? The other, there's a couple of other weird things that are coming. You know, I was talking earlier about how the political parties just plant their flags and stand there and salute their own flags and look across the battlefield or the aisle here and just point fingers and go, all of our nation's problems are on you. We had nothing to do with it. Everything we do is right. Everything you do is wrong. And just a couple of weird hypocrisies, if you will, have come out of this. There's some pretty strong videos that the Republicans have out arguing against the Biden presidency, talking about how it's all going to be Armageddon and the nation will just apparently collapse into a giant sinkhole of fire and violence if Mr. Biden is elected. But it's funny that all of the video that they're using to demonstrate that is coming from things that are happening under the current administration. So it's like, what the hell are you people talking about? None of this makes any sense. Ay, ay, ay. So anyway, Mr. Pence gave up. He was pretty forceful on a lot of different situations. But again, the law and order thing was a big part of last night.
My fellow Americans, we're passing through a time of testing. But in the midst of this global pandemic, just as our nation had begun to recover, we've seen violence and chaos in the streets of our major cities. President Trump and I will always support the right of Americans to peaceful protest. But rioting and looting is not peaceful protest.
And he is absolutely right about that. It's always interesting to me about how politicians can spin this thing, because with all of this violence and rioting going on, they have spun it to where it's all the fault of the Democratic governors in charge of the major cities where this is happening. On the other hand, if there was a Democrat in the White House, you can bet your bottom dollar they'd be hanging it on the federal government. So it's, I don't know, politicians, I swear. I don't know if we're going to come out of this. Well, we will. We tend to find ways and always have in the past. And I think I said in the past, I'm reading right now a story, a book about how the Civil War came into being. And boy, you think we're having troubles now. Holy moly. Prior to and certainly into the early stages of the Civil War, this nation was a mess. And we pulled ourselves up and out of that. So I'll give you that as a potential thoughtful or a hopeful thought here this morning. Or a thoughtful hope, whatever. I don't care. I'm having a dyslexic moment here. It's 6:55.